Hey, it's Dash. I'm here with WarFix, and we are talking with Dominic Smith today. Now, Dominic is responsible for Nightmare Return to Elm Street, which we think is actually pretty amazing. And we wanted to get him on the phone so that he could sort of give us his idea of the genesis for this, and we can pick his brain over it. How are you doing today, Dominic?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good.
Now, we got you on, like, location today, right? You're actually working.
Yeah, I'm actually working on a kids film right now. It's called Bernie the Dolphin. I'm actually the lead editor on it, so they actually got me on a trailer, actually cutting together dailies like every day. So yeah, I'm just taking a break.
Now, can we expect a horror take on the Dolphin Tale?
Say that again.
Now, can we expect your horror take on the Dolphin Tale?
No, man, no. It is like the kid of a. What's so funny is like it's getting compared to Dolphin Tale so much. And I have twin daughters, and I told them last night that I was working on a dolphin film, and immediately they were like, "Oh, it's a scary dolphin movie," and I'm like, "No, man, no, it's just." It's a kids movie.
Of course, now I sort of want to see like a horror-centered dolphin movie.
Yeah, that would be freaky. Like, you know, something like Piranha or like Zombievers.
Yeah, you know, that might be like untapped territory.
Yeah, and you know, like, I mean, I'm sure you probably know because it's just been that thing that's been running around for years, but like the fact that like dolphins are like responsible for like 16 rapes a year or something like that, like upon humans.
Right.
That's crazy.
You know, it's hilarious, you know, unless you're the victim apparently. But I can just see, you know, the boys who were already like this year, horror might be more intelligent than man. You know, and then they do the lead in it. You know, something about needing to come up for air. We've got an angle here. We've definitely got an angle. So,
sorry. Say that again. I missed the MP.
So I think we've definitely got an angle here. There's definitely an angle. I think you and I are going to be single-handedly responsible for dolphin horror. It's going to be a new subgenre.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want some residuals if that ends up happening.
So let's talk about Nightmare Return to Elm Street. So out of all the horror icons, what attracted you most to Freddy in A Nightmare on Elm Street?
It's always been I grew up on Nightmare. Watched the first one when I was probably like 6 years old. And what actually made me want to do this was because I've never been like a big fan film type. I mean, like I like watching them, but I love just creating my own original stuff. And I was helping a buddy do a Star Wars fan film. I was the lead editor on that. And I was just like, what is my Star Wars? And I was like, freaking Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, it has to be Nightmare on Elm Street. So I like told the buddy, like, we had filmed on this old World War II warship. And I was like, I think I want to do a Nightmare on Elm Street fan trailer. And this was like 2 years ago. And at the time, I didn't really have the funds to be able to do it then. So I was like, you know, like if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. So I took some time and just recently at the end of last year, like things kind of lined up perfectly and went ahead and made it happen. My big obsession with Nightmare over all the other like slasher or horror films is that the beautiful thing about Nightmare on Elm Street is it's the one thing you can't get away. Like, Friday the 13th, like, you kind of, like, have to have some connection with what happened to Jason, or you have to go to Camp Crystal Lake, or, I mean, aside from some movies where, like, he kind of, like, wandered off. But, like, you know, the origin is, like, you have to go there. You have to, like, open that skin book and, like, read, like, that passage. But with Nightmare on Elm Street, you just have like you have to go to sleep. You can't avoid that. You can avoid all of that other stuff, but you can't avoid going to sleep. Like, you either don't go to sleep and die, or you go to sleep and die.
Right. Now, there's always a fair amount of trepidation when coming into territory that's so well established. So were there any initial fears about, well, I'm tackling something that's so beloved?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Trust me, I went into this so nervous because I knew I was going to get, like, I knew I was going to get so much backlash. And, like, I'm still getting it. Like, I'm getting it, like, crazy. And I've never really had, like, I've had a few of my projects, like, kind of get up there in views, like, maybe 300,000, 400,000. But nothing like this. And it's just, like, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of comments. And 75 to, like, 80% of them are actually super positive. But for some reason, just it's human nature to focus on the negative. So that 20% is, like, viewed like a magnifying glass. And it sucks. Like, it sucks so much reading some of the comments. But they're all, like, they're all saying the same things. So I was very fearful going into it. I talked to the guy who was helping me produce it. I talked to the production team, and I just let them know. I was just like, look, going into this, like, we're going to get shit, man.
And then you're casting Batman.
You said what?
It's like you're casting Batman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And it's just, on top of that, like, I knew I was even, like, there were a number of things that was already against me before I even filmed anything. It was just, like, one, going with a male lead, I knew I was going to get shit about that. Two, going with a black male lead, I knew I was going to get double shit about that. And then, because I don't have Robert Englund, obviously, because, you know, I don't have that hookup. it was tough.
Now, it's interesting that we're talking about leads because there's one thing that attracted to me to trailers, more so than a lot of the fan films, is that, you know, with horror, we've got a template, you know. We can be formulaic, you know, and of course, I'm a huge fan of horror, but, you know, I recognize it's false. And a lot of the faults is that we sort of have, let's place five good-looking teenagers in a room and see what happens, you know. And I love the fact that there's this sense of family, there's this real sense of higher stakes in these trailers than we're usually used to seeing. So what was your decision to do that? Because I thought it was an interesting decision.
So when I went into it, I was like, okay, I would love to do something that has a really, really strong story to it. And don't get me wrong, because I fucking love the Nightmare on Elm Street series. But
yeah,
if I'm going to, like, order it from, like, strongest to weakest, like, I think New Nightmare has the strongest story that the series had ever seen. And then you got to, like, go back to the original first one, and then, like, there's three Dream Warriors. And
yeah,
everything else, like, just kind of, like, just falls in line, however. But I think those are, like, the three strongest stories. So, like, going into this one, I was like, I really want to tell a strong story. I wanted to have, like, a really strong horror aspect, but also I want people to leave and just be like, fuck, that was a really, really good story.
Yeah.
So when I went into it, I was like, I want to do something that's, like, Gone Girl meets a slasher film. So when I decided I was going to go with a male lead, the first thing that came to mind is, how do I victimize this person, though? Because just based off of stereotypes and you see a man as a lead, it's like you view a man as powerful and strong, and it's, how is this person going to be victimized? And so as I went into it, I was just like, it has to have something to do with his kids or his family, something that he, like, holds near and dear. Because, like, with teenagers, everything is still, like, teenagers, their world is them, like, that, and that is it. But as you become an adult, your world is, like, everything tied to you. It's your family. It's everything that you've built over years that can be, like, ripped away from you. And to me, the fear becomes stronger because it's a lot more about what you spent time building.
And I think that, you know, as men, as family men go, the biggest assault on our masculinity and identity is having the idea that we can't protect, you know, that there's something out there that's going to be able to be stronger, more resilient, and more dedicated than us at their cause. And that's a scary thought, especially for, you know, especially for a lot of males who are fathers. You know, even if it's in a stepfather capacity, you know, you're always thinking about who you are in your identity as how you can protect and provide for your family.
Right.
Now, I also want to talk an interesting thing that I found from trailers, too, is that we're talking about leads, and you mentioned that, you know, a strong black lead. And a lot of problems that I had with modern horror is that even when we try to insert, like, strong black male leads, it's always got to be this very, like, urbanized. It's just a very weird conception that we just can't seem to walk away from. You know it?
Oh, no, trust me. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, and it's that always bothers me. And, like, again, going back to, like, just reading the comments, I could always tell certain people didn't even watch the trailer. They watched the first 5 seconds, saw a black guy, and was like, nope, I'm not, like, going to waste my time. And when I went into this, I even had some of the crew members, like, saying, oh, so what type of nightmares are you going to do? Like, is it going to be, like, the KKK? And I was like, no, like, I don't want the fact that he's black to be, like, the huge pushing point of this. Like, I just, like, to me, he's just a dude. Like, he's just a father and a husband. Like, I don't want to push the urban aspect or, like, any of that stuff. Like, I just want him to be a regular guy who just so happens to be black. And I've talked to the actor a lot about this, and, like, he was super on board. And so, yeah, like, stuff like that has always bothered me when it came to horror films that do choose to, like, implementing a lead strong black character. It's just, I don't think there's an issue with that in that stuff, but when every film does it, then it becomes a problem, because it's like, why is that representative of who this character is? Like, why does this have to be them? And I think it's just, you know, like, they want to, you know, reach a larger audience and all of that. But when I wrote it, like, the character was honestly just a reflection of me. So, yeah.
Right, and I think that's where American cinema, you know, I think you see it so much like in British television. I think they're doing something a little different and something better when it comes to those stereotypes. Like, they're creating characters first, and then they're casting, you know, based on the strength of the actor. But, you know, we really seem to be, you know, there's notes that we just seem to have this formula that we try to hit. And I think it really works, unfortunately, to sort of deteriorate stronger lead that way.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it. I definitely agree there. And it's just, to me, I think it, just when you have a strong character, it makes the writing more challenging, but also makes the writing more interesting, because you go into it thinking, how in the world are they going to break this character down and make it believable?
Now, as far as going about Freddy and the look of Freddy, what were your thoughts on that initially?
So when we went into it, obviously, like, so one, like, people are going to hate me for saying this, but I actually don't hate the reboot. Like, I don't hate it at all. I don't think it's as bad as, like, people paint it out to be. But, like, going into it, like, that Freddy look was not, like, what I wanted to do at all. Like, not like, if there was anything I didn't like about the reboot, that was the one huge, like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So when I went into it, my favorite through the series, honestly, like, I think the greatest they had ever done the makeup was Freddy vs. Jason. Even though it's not my favorite film of the series, I think the makeup had never looked better. Like, it was the one film where they were not afraid to do close-ups of Freddy, like, extreme close-ups of Freddy, and you could tell because the makeup was flawless. So my look was that, like, it was a mix of Freddy versus Jason, and then also New Nightmare. And New Nightmare was a complete, like, they had never done it that way before. Like, they wanted to do ripped skin and, like, He was supposed to, like, emulate, like, a witch, like, type of, like, that's, like, the trope that they were going for with the story. And I'd always loved that makeup because I thought it to me, it brought the scary Freddy Krueger back. So when we went into it, that's kind of what we went into was it was going to be a mix between those two makeups and the, like, the burn and, like, scar forms kind of, like, generated from the nose and, like, and went backwards. So yeah, and that was fun. That was fun to be a part of and watch the process. We had like 5 makeup artists, and we brought the actor in, and they casted his face. And yeah, it was a good time, and also like a hell of a challenge, like such a challenge dealing with that.
And one other thing that I think is on everyone's mind, especially people who have seen the trailers, is what's next. I mean, are there plans to expand this? Has there always been a plan to expand this? So what can the people who, obviously, you've converted to fans, what can they expect at this point?
Yeah, so it's funny because my producer, Aki, he was adamant on, we got to do a crowdfunding campaign. We have to, and, like, capitalize on this. Like, so many people are behind it. Facebook, like, we're almost at, like, 3 million views, and YouTube, like, we're a little bit over 1 million with all three, and it's just, like, we got to use this moment to, like, thrust ourselves forward and, like, make the feature. My thing is, if I'm being absolutely honest, I'm not interested in making the feature if I can't do it through New Line Cinema. So, like, that is my hugest push right now is trying to get as much attention on these trailers as possible before we send it out to New Line and say, hey, look, you know, take a look at what we did. You know, maybe this would be an interesting storyline that you guys would want to move forward with. Even if I was just, like, a consultant, like, to be a part of that, like, I think it would be asked, like, I would probably hire a guy to change my pants every day because I would be shitting myself every day that I was working on that project. So
it's
that's
a pretty
huge
legacy.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that, you know, that's the huge goal. I think the smaller half of it is just it's amazing to just like be able to like build this fan base. I have a horror feature film that I am planning on doing towards the end of like the final quarter of this year, and it's actually about lucid dreaming. It absolutely isn't a ripoff of Nightmare on Elm Street by any means, but it does like tackle like that fear of sleeping, but just on a newer age, and it's again just about like lucid dreaming and shared dreaming and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. And it takes more of a scientific push.
Very interesting. So people who are seeing the trailers now, they want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing, maybe a little bit of your background. Where can they go to see what you've got coming out next, maybe what you're working on now?
Yeah. So anybody who's interested in seeing any of my work, you can search, go on YouTube and search Domozoo, which is D-O-M-O-Z-O-O, and you can see a lot of just my recent stuff. I'll even be, like, we shot a lot of scenes for Nightmare, so, like, over the next, like, few weeks or the next, like, month and a half, I'll be uploading those things as well just so people can kind of get more of an idea of where we wanted the story to go. Also, some behind-the-scenes stuff will be posted there as well. And then on Facebook, you can search me under Dom the Director. I hate it because it makes me feel like a tool, but I think it's, like, the easiest thing for people to say. I'm still getting used to, like, the whole social media push and everything. And then on Instagram, it's Who's Your Film Daddy?
Well, both very memorable handles.
Yeah. That's what I was going for. Definitely. I was just like, my name's Dominic Smith. And I was like, oh, that's such a basic name. I was like, okay, Dom the Director. That's easier.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, the trailers are very visible. They're really making the rounds right now, which is great. And I think they should, especially with the current climate of not really having a lot of these franchises being revitalized in the ways that we thought they would. So, you know, being able to still get something that pays homage to them, something that the fans are really enjoying, I mean, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
And thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I'm glad we're able to talk about the trailers, and as soon as you get some more information, we'd love to have you back on.
All right, yeah, definitely. If anything happens, I'll definitely reach out and let you guys know.